This is what the Lord said. He said, the time has come where the darkness has come down to full potential. For the people have formed an alliance with the enemy as a whole. And the people agree with his kingdom. They agree with the things of darkness, says the Lord. And the time has come, yes, even in this hour, even right now in this hour, says the Lord, that my people must arise and agree with me and allow my light to rise within so that they can shine bright and expose the darkness of those caught up in it, says the Lord. Yes, for my people must walk in agreement with me. So build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in my love and walk in my grace. Build yourselves up, for I have given you the gift. I have given you my spirit that you can pray at all times my perfect plan and my will into the earth. For there's many things that I desire to pray through you, says the Lord. So allow me. Allow me to pray and change those many things that must be changed in this hour. Allow me to pray with you, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. So be receptive to the things of my spirit and be open to my move. For I long to move by my spirit, and you must produce the atmosphere as you draw upon the anointing in your hearts. You will see that the atmosphere will be produced when you come to me with a pure heart. When you come to my house with a pure heart, says the Lord.
So
keep yourselves pure and blameless before me. Guard your hearts with all diligence, says the Lord, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. So keep your hearts guarded by my spirit and keep your eyes continually upon my word. And you will find that you will become full. For you will be full, says the Lord. You will be full of this world, or you will be full of me. And it's my desire and my will and my plan for you to be filled completely with all the fullness of me, says the Lord. So be full of me. Be full of me and separate yourselves from this world. For I am he who will satisfy all your desires. Come to me and drink, says the Lord. For I will satisfy all of your greatest desires that lie within. Hallelujah, Jesus. John, James, where are we? We're in James chapter 3, amen. Man, I feel good right now. All right, let's pray. See what the Lord wants to do here. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come upon me now and to deliver these words to the people and give us all ears to hear. Speak to us, Lord. We humble ourselves and come expecting to receive what man can't give. We come expecting to receive from your Spirit, Lord. Amen. From the living Spirit of God. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. We bind every hindrance. We command the enemy to every lying, deceiving hindrance to leave this place in Jesus' name and not return. Amen. And we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone here. Amen. And Father, I pray you'd grant in all of us, I pray you'd strengthen and empower us with might by your Spirit in our inner man. I pray that Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith, that we're being rooted and grounded in love and being made able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height that we are perceiving and understanding the love of Christ, which surpasses and transcends knowledge, that we're being filled completely with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name we praise you for it. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. I'm in Haggai. We got to... Is it cold enough for you? No. Do you have your listening ears on?
Amen.
Can I help you today?
Yes.
James chapter 3, he says this in verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Now he's going to reveal his point that he's making here. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, you can underline that verse. He's telling you that there is the ability to be a perfect man and not stumble in many ways and be qualified to teach. But not only that, to keep your tongue under control, which is the subject of this chapter. He says in verse 3, now pay very close attention, when we put the bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example, although they are so large and are they're driven by strong winds. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. He's illustrating something to us. First, he uses an animal with a bit in its mouth. You can turn the animal with that small bit, right? Then he says a ship, you know, a horse. You can turn that animal. You can turn that animal out of trouble. You can steer that animal out of war and out of problems, out of a trial, or you can turn it into war to make it kill someone. With a ship, some of those ships weigh millions and millions of pounds. They're so large, driven by strong winds. He says that tiny little bitty rudder steers that large ship wherever you want to go. And then he says this. He says, likewise, the tongue. So he's really, what he's not talking about is an animal or a ship. He's illustrating something about your tongue. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. Just like that small, tiny little bit. Just like that small rudder on the ship. It's a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. And he gives you some more examples to help you paint you a Picasso that you just have to be able to see it. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You know, it's a dry season. The guy flicks his cigarette out the window and all of a sudden the whole forest goes on fire. It's happened before. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. He says in verse 6, the tongue also is a fire. Everyone say, the tongue is a fire. And he says this, a world of evil among the tongue. Let's see if we can teach anymore. He says this, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil. He says, put on your listening ears and pay close attention to what is said, for I'm giving you the information to set you free from the many problems that have arisen because of your own tongues, says the Lord. For I will give you directions, and if you have ears to hear and are willing to hear that which the Spirit will say, you will become set free. You will become sustained by your own words as you lay the foundation, as you sow the field. You will see that you will no longer have the harvest of darkness that you have previously seen, but you will have the harvest of righteousness that I long for you to sow and reap, says the Lord. He says this in Verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. He's talking to you now. It corrupts the whole person. What does the tongue? It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. So he's saying, now that's not what God wants for us, but he's saying if you misuse the tongue, it can drive you all the way to hell. There's most likely millions, if not billions, of people in hell because of what they said. Can you prove that? Absolutely. Matthew 12, 34 through 36, Jesus said, it's by your words that you will be acquitted. And it's by your words that you will be condemned. By your words. That's by your tongue, by what you're speaking. We may come back to that verse. We'll see how he leads. He says in verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. Now, he talked earlier about a perfect man. What he's saying here in context of the entire chapter is no one can tame the tongue by natural means. You cannot do it by yourself. It has to become supernatural. In other words, you have to, first of all, you need to be born again and tap into the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to control your tongue to the level that is necessary to have the abundant life that God has provided for us in this life. Amen. And also to go to heaven, not to hell. Now, he says here, but no man can tame the tongue, and we know this is by natural means, as it'll become clear to you. He says, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. He's calling the tongue a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, to see this, I'll quote you a scripture from Romans chapter 3, verse 10. In fact, why don't we go over there? Go over to Romans chapter 3 real quick. Because this goes right along with what we're talking here. Romans 3, we'll start in verse 13. He's talking about sinful people. He's talking about the world. Now, Jesus talked that there was a difference between the sinner and the righteous. He constantly differentiated between the sinner and the righteous. If you're a Christian, you're not a sinner. Amen. Anybody who still believes they're a sinner is deceived by the devil, and he's trying to get you to think wrong, so you believe wrong and speak wrong, and you go in that direction to hell. Because sinners go to hell. Christians are not sinners. Christians are saints, the Bible says. You're trying to tell me I'm Saint D'Africa? You better believe it. If you are born again, you are saint. That's what you are, according to the Bible. Well, I thought saints are the ones they put statues. That's idolatry. Watch out for that stuff. We are all called to be saints, he says. Just read it. The beginning of a lot of the letters, Ephesians, Colossians, he calls us saints. Amen. Now he says here, so he's talking about the sinner. He says there, the sinner, verse 13, Romans 3, their throats are open graves. Now if there's anything I don't want my throat to be in God's eyes an open grave. You know what comes out of an open grave? Stench. Filth. He says their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. Practice it. In fact, a lot of people, including a lot of carnal Christians, they practice deceit, and they're so, by the time they even get saved, they're so used to lying that they lie to themselves, and when they speak, they believe that what they're saying is true. They practice deceit until it becomes part of their, every part of their spiritual makeup. Now he says here, the poison of vipers is on their lips. All this is making reference to what they say. Amen. He says their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. And he tells you why. He goes on in verse 15. He says their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. And he says this is why they do it. This is why people don't control their tongue. This is why people don't keep a tight rein on his tongue. And like James says. This is why there's no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear God. So because they don't fear God and recognize the judgment to come, they run around saying, gossiping, blah, blah. You hear what sister so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of people, they can't even get out of church before they're blabbing their mouths about everybody. They can't even walk outside the church and that spirit rises up within them that they're possessed by. And they got to talk about everybody when the real person they should be talking about is themselves. Amen. We got to learn to control our tongues. Because when we talk about people when they're not in the room, the motivation's typically not right. Amen. Now, he says this, there's no fear of God before their eyes. So we know that, first of all, we need to have a good, strong foundation of the fear of God so we don't say things we shouldn't say. Amen. Now, do you still love me? Now, I want you to see this. Going back to James chapter 3. You keep your finger there. We'll probably be coming in and out of it. Now, if anybody ever enters into a level in God where you think that you're just holy and pure, just read through the book of James and 1 John and we'll get a reality check where we're really walking. Amen? Or Second Peter. Oh, Pastor Dan, let me tell you, man, I'm so grown up spiritually. Go home and read the book of James and 1 John. And by the time he's done cutting you up with that sword of righteousness, you're going to realize you got a lot of growth to do yet. He said, all of us who are mature should take such a view of matters, Paul said. You should never think you've arrived. There's always more. He said, this too God will make clear to you. Now, yeah, thank you, Jesus is right. Amen. Thank God that He doesn't stop dealing with us and He keeps dealing with us. That means He loves us. He said, those whom I love are rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. In Revelation chapter 3. So He says this, the tongue, in verse 7, verse 8, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. We saw that in Romans 3. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. In other words, we come to church, we raise our hands and say, praise the Lord. This is like we said in Jeremiah 7, this is the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. You walk out of church, you hear about sister so-and-so. Sister Blabbermouth says the sister garbage ears. Hey, did you hear about sister so-and-so? No, sister Blabbermouth, I haven't heard about that. Well, sister garbage ears, let me tell you something about sister so-and-so. She was in a church today. Did you hear that? Can't say amen, say oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
See, we got to have our hearts right outside of church because the real man is the one outside the doors of the church. We can put on a facade and act real spiritual because we're all in the presence of God and the atmosphere of God when we're assembled together, and we can sense the presence of the Lord and we can tap into His anointing while we're all together here. But then you get home and you slap your wife, you curse your husband, and you're talking bad about other people behind their backs. Or speaking things you should not speak. That's the real person. That's the one we need to work on. Amen. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 through 3. Be transformed by the renewing. He said, be not conformed to this world. In other words, when you got born again, you were sanctified, you were separated, you made a choice to separate from the world. He says, now don't go back to the way you used to be. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, acceptable, and perfect will. Three levels. Jesus said it like this, 30, 60, 100 fold. We want to be in God's perfect will. I don't want to be in the acceptable will of God. I don't want to get to heaven. He says, Pat, you did okay. You made it in. You know, I don't want to be on the lower level where He says, Pastor Dan, you barely made it into heaven. Let me show you. And you see the whole life while you're dancing on the gates of hell? Woo, look at me. I'm happy. I'm a cool singles Christian. Look at me. Got one foot in the world hanging around in the clubs. Oh, barely made it in. I don't want that. I want him to say, you go. good and faithful servant, well done. You produced everything. You did it. You're just like my servant David. You have a heart of David. You did exactly what I told you to do. Is there anything you didn't do that I told you to do? You are fully submissive, fully obedient. That's what I want to hear. Amen. And I will hear it. Now, he says this. Verse 9 again. With our tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. See, Pastor Dan, I don't do that. You go home, you curse your kids. Oh, he's crazy, he's crazy, he's crazy. I just heard it. Somebody's speaking over our kid. He's crazy. He's crazy. Because he's walking. How does that qualify him to be crazy just because he walked? That's the dumbest things come out of people's mouths. Right. Or you see somebody sneeze and you go, oh, sneeze, 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 sneeze. You're just cursing more sneezes over the person. Why you got to say that so many times? What is that in your heart? Or you see somebody that's obviously not feeling well and you say, it looks like you're getting a cold.
Yeah.
Why don't you be spiritual and be smart enough to say it looks like they're getting a cold inside yourself and then go off in the corner, not say a word, and rebuke the devil off that person.
Amen.
If you love them. Why you even got to bring it up? That person's not dull. They already know if they got a cold. You don't got to curse them again.
Right?
Why don't we instead say the right words and say, you know what, brother, and just lay hands on that person. Say, I command you, devil, you get your hands off them right now. I claim their healing in Jesus' name. Don't even speak about what is. Speak what you want to be. God created you in His image and His likeness, and He's given you authority in this realm to change things with your words. So why would we just reestablish what already is? Why don't we instead... I mean, you've got so much power. Everyone say power.
Power.
There is absolute power in every single word that you speak. Power to change things. When He created Adam, He said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. And He gave them dominion, He said. And that man lost that dominion when they sinned, but Jesus got it back. Amen? I said, Jesus got it back.
Amen.
We have dominion in this realm, and we're walking, even though you can't physically see it right now, you will eventually see that you're walking in the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son. And because we walk in this realm, in this kingdom, we can walk around having dominion over the realms of darkness.
Yes.
We can have dominion over poverty. You can say,
yes.
Poverty, you know the Bible says, let the poor say I'm rich.
Yes.
So we should agree with God and get rid of that religious spirit that says, oh, humble, oh me.
Yes.
Just me, my bread and my beans, I'm happy over here. You know, it'd be nice if we would use our faith and believe God and get to a level where we have an abundance so we can give more,
Amen.
Not only to God's church, but also to the poor.
Amen.
There's Christian radio stations that can give to. There's more than just giving into the offering basket. And you know, looking over the giving statements, a lot of people, I don't think they even got their tithe in this year. Uh-oh. Now I'm stepping on some toes here. In fact, I think the only person that did meet the tithe mark doesn't even go to this church. That's not right. You know, if you go to the Alcohol Anonymous, they pay their dues over there. Why can't the Christians pay their dues to God's church?
Amen. Help us, God. Help us.
We just make the choice and do it, amen?
Amen.
So now, we know we got to work on that area, but there's something equally as important. We need to work on the area of what we speak with our words.
Amen.
What we're speaking out of our mouths. Now, he says this in verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Then you go home and say, you dumb kid, you didn't go to school today. You big dummy. And you curse the kids or call your husband a big gorilla. You're grumbling around here. All you do is sit around and watch TV. You don't do nothing around the house. You're not getting nothing done. You're just cursing the situation. You're either reestablishing what already is or you're cursing that person with your tongue. You know, when the spies came back, when he sent them into Canaan land and they came back and they brought a negative report. The King James Version called it an evil report. Evil. So when we speak words that are negative out of our mouths, every time you speak a negative word out of your mouth, God looks and says, that's evil. What are they doing down there, he says. What are they doing with their tongue that I gave them to speak praises to me with? Amen. Now, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say that I can do
all things
through Christ
who strengthens me.
I will speak
positive words
over my family,
over my friends,
over my finances,
over my body,
over every realm,
every arena
of life.
Amen.
Verse 10, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Verse 11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? He's asking you a question. Now, you know it couldn't, could it?
No.
Could fresh water and salt water, can they flow from the same spring?
No.
Not from the same, no. Not out of the same faucet. Now he says here, my brothers, he asks you another question. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Does that ever happen?
No.
Fig tree bears figs, right?
Right.
And an olive tree bears olives, correct?
Yeah.
He says, or can a grapevine bear figs?
No.
It bears grapes, right?
Yeah.
Now he's giving you an example. He says, look, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, if that person comes to church and they're praising God in church and they go out there and cursing, they're not a freshwater spring in God's eyes. He says they can't produce two things. In other words, their heart condition is wrong. They need to get it right with God. But I love Jesus. No, you don't. The Bible says, the man who says, I know him but doesn't do it, he commands a liar. And the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. But I love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, obey what I command. John 14:15. Jesus is my friend, though. No, he's not. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command. John 15:14.
Amen.
Jesus is my Lord. He's my Lord. No, he's not. Not unless you're yielded to him, because he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven.
Amen.
Matthew 7:21. Amen.
Amen.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Then let's get it right with our mouth.
Yes.
Let's just master it. Let's make it our endeavor. Since that's what we're going to be judged by, we're going to be acquitted by, we might as well make it our endeavor that every word that comes out of our mouth will be filtered. Amen?
Yes.
And it's going to be filtered through the foundation of the Word of God that we're going to put in our spirits. And we are going to be, what? Quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yes.
James 1:19 says, everyone, take note of this, he says. So you go on and take a note now. He says, my brothers, take note of this. James 1:19. Take note of this, he says. Everyone should be quick to listen. Two ears, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak. One mouth, two ears. One man told me a long time ago, he said, you got two ears and one mouth, so you should listen, 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 he said. He used to always say, listen, 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 listen. You're talking too much, he'd say. We need to be listening. Who are we going to listen to? We're going to listen to God. How are we going to do that? We're going to listen to our Bible. I don't have time to read it, then play it. I don't have a cell phone, then go buy a CD player. I can't afford a CD player, then come up here after service, we'll buy you one. We need to keep the Word playing in our house, amen, all the time. Keep it playing, playing, playing. But my friends, it embarrasses my friends. Well, they're not real friends then, they're of the devil. Because if you have real friends, they would love Jesus.
Because
if they don't love Jesus and they don't love the Word, they're just trying to take you to hell with them. That's not your friends. But I've known them my whole life. But this, he says, you had a new life in Christ Jesus. That's your old life. Why are you trying to hold on to the dead man? Why you got that dead man chained to your leg, that rotting carcass dragging him around? Just cut the chains. Let it go. Say goodbye. Tell them about Jesus. And if they refuse, then you just take a break from them and take a sabbatical and pray for them for the season. They'll come around if you keep them in prayer and speak the right words consistently. That's a key with our tongue. Consistency in speech. Everyone say consistency.
Consistency.
Say consistency.
Consistency.
We have to be absolutely 100% consistent. We cannot even, you can't 99 times say the right things and then one time say the wrong thing. It cannot be. You have to be absolutely 100% legalistic with your words. And if you're not, it won't work. In Malachi chapter 3, they were tithing and he said, your words, he said, it's not working, they said. He said, it's because your words are stout against me, he said. Your words, in other words, they were saying that it's not working. We're giving our tithes. God said he's going to open up the storehouse and it's not working. He says, it's because your words don't line up with what you're doing. We have to be consistent with our words. Now, he says here, so we see, he says, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, if you're praising God and then cursing men, your heart's not right. You need to get saved all over again. Just rededicate your life to the Lord and start fresh with Him right now. Because you're all messed up inside. And then he tells you this, verse 13, who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and strife in your hearts, do not boast, don't say it. If you harbor bitter envy and strife in your hearts, don't boast about it. Don't speak it or don't boast about it or deny the truth. He says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For you have envy and strife, cursing your neighbor. Where you have envy and strife, there you find confusion in every evil practice, he says. In other words, your heart. If you got a curse, if you got envy and strife in there, where you got to curse your neighbor, he says your heart condition's all wrong. You got to get it right.
Amen.
He says, but the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure. Well, you can't have something that's pure and not pure at the same time. It's first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, and submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So you're going to sow words of peace towards our neighbor. When they're not in the room, well, all the more reason not to talk about them.
Amen.
Amen. And if they are in the room, and I gave you the example, if they're sick and they're sneezing, don't say sneeze, sneeze, sneeze. Say, you're healthy, you're healthy, you're healthy. How about that? Well, that's weird, Pastor Dan. No, it's not.
Amen.
He told us to use our tongue to bless. Would that not be blessing someone? I do it every time I sneeze or I see someone sneeze, I say, you're healthy. You're healthy. If I sneeze 3-4 times, I'll say it about 10 times. Say, I'm healthy, 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 I'm healthy. You're weird, Pastor Ed, but it works.
Amen.
I've seen many people sick around me. I'm healthy. It ain't going to come near me. Why? Because I release my faith against it. The devil tries to sneeze and cough and hack and sow that field all around you. I just start sowing a new field of health. Amen.
Amen.
I'm healed, 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 I'm healed.
Amen.
You really do that, Pastor? You better believe it. How often do you get sick? Not very often. It's very, very few and far between that the devil can sneak one in on me. And if he ever did, it's not because he's greater than the one who's in me. It's because I let my guard down. Because I made a mistake. Not because I wasn't able, it's because I was not focused enough on my faith in that area. Amen?
Amen.
So you want to be focused with our faith. Everyone say, focus your faith.
Focus your faith.
Focus your faith.
Focus your faith.
Where are we going to focus it? We're going to focus it towards everything in front of our eyes. We're going to focus it on our finances. We're going to focus it on our body. We're going to focus it on our family. Well, Pastor Dan, you know, I hear people run around, they say, want my family to be saved and this and that. And then they go around and say, they're not living right and all. I'm so concerned about them. Don't ever say that. Don't even talk about it. He says, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Don't even talk about it then. Instead, just say they're saved. Instead, just somebody asks your family, I say, I'm believing God that they are.
Amen.
They don't look very saved. I just seen them in the bar last night. Say, what were you doing in the bar? Christians don't hang out in bars, do they?
Amen.
No. He says not to be yoked together with unbelievers. He said, what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? He said, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Amen.
Amen.
He says, we are the temple of the living God. He says, therefore, he says, you know, as it is written, I will live with them and walk among them and be their father. So we need to come out from the world and be separate, says the Lord, he said. Come out from among them and be separate. I'll be a father to you, be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Nan, I don't hang out in the club. I tell you what, if you hang out in the club, even that one time you get that bright idea to hang out in there and that rapture happens, you ain't going up in it.
Amen.
Jesus, no, he won't. He says, eyes cannot even look upon evil, it says. Amen. Habakkuk 1:13. He says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing.
Amen.
David said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Amen?
Amen.
Can't say amen, say oh my. Oh. Now, let's... How much time we got here? You know, in Job 22:28, it says, "You shall decree." He talked about God. He said, "You shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass."
Amen.
So, what we're saying, we're created in His image and His likeness, and He gave us His authority, the church. So, what we say is going to come to pass. We need to be careful. You need to, at first, until you get used to this and get your heart a good foundation of the Word, you need to walk around like eggshells, like before you say anything. Have the fear of God in you. Why? Because if you don't. If you don't have the fear of God in you and determine within yourself that I will never speak even one cross word, then you're going to waver. You're going to be saying things that aren't right. Amen. Amen. Oh my, she says. Amen. Now, hallelujah, Jesus. Now, going over to Proverbs chapter 4. I'll show you something here. I want you to underline this. You should have this memorized. This is one of the most important verses you can get in yourself. Verse 23, chapter 4 of Proverbs, it says, guard your heart with all diligence.
Amen.
And then he says this, for out of it flows the issues of life. So, Jesus said, now if you're going over to Matthew chapter 12, I want you to see this, but keep your finger there in Proverbs. Matthew chapter 12 in the New Testament now, I want you to see these verses. He talked about Jesus in 1 John. He said, the one we looked at and our hands have touched. Jesus is the word of life, he said. So we're going to look at the Word. We're going to see what Jesus has to say about it. Matthew 12, verse 33. He says this, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. And what he's talking about is what the fruit. You're a tree and the fruit you're producing are your words, is what he's saying. And he'll describe it to you. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? So he's talking about your words. If you're a bad tree, you're going to speak evil words. He says you're evil. You're a brood of vipers like the devil, a snake. You're not speaking good words. He says, for out of the overflow, everyone say overflow.
Overflow.
Of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, we're a vessel that's going to be full of something. And if we're full of what we're listening to commercials and listening to TV and secular music and all that garbage, you're full of the world. I'm not full of the world. I go to church. You're full of the world. Let me follow you around for a week. Let me chain myself to your leg and we'll see just how holy you are. Full of the world. Full of, let me pick on you. It's embarrassing to be full of the world. Amen?
Amen.
You want to be holy. The most, you want to be the popular one in high school, the popular one in God's house, the one that's full of God. Amen?
Amen.
Full of the Word.
Amen.
That's the popular one.
Amen.
What's cool in the eyes of the world is not cool in the eyes of God. You'd be the least popular one in heaven. You'd be the loser. Barely made it in. You don't want that.
Amen.
You want to be the most popular one. You want to be the one that's strong enough to run right up to Jesus and he goes, hey, brother. So he stops talking to the other ones and talks to you. Amen, because you pleased him so much.
Hallelujah.
He says this, Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless. Everyone say careless.
Careless.
A lot of people are careless with the words they speak.
Yes.
We've got to be careful with the words we speak. He says this. Men will have to give an account. So you're going to have to, an orderly account of why you said all those things, because he writes it all down. It's all taken into account, unless you repent of it and get it straight with God and don't do it anymore. He says, men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken, for by your words to be acquitted and by your words to be condemned. Now we want to be acquitted. We want to be judged righteously. We don't want to be condemned. So what we're going to do is we're going to repent of all this mess, all the way we've been talking. We're going to get it straight with God. We're going to keep the word in front of our eyes. We're going to go home and throw the TV in the garbage if you can't shut it off. We're going to throw away all the secular magazines, the porno magazines, and the worldly music. Everything that's not worship music, throw it in the garbage. And we're going to fill our heart with the word of God, so we're not going to be condemned at the end of our life. Like he said in James, he said you're going to be thrown into hell. We don't want to go to hell over our words. We want to, not only do we want to go to heaven, but we also want to have the abundant life right here and now that Jesus promised us. Amen?
Amen.
And we can have it. We don't have to say, God, I can't do it. It's a lie. You can't do it. It's a choice.
Amen.
Anybody can do it. You don't even have to pray about it. You could just do it if you wanted to. Because you're already born again and the new nature will empower you to do so. He said, He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises so that through them we might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. 2 Peter chapter 1. So we have everything we need. He says this, Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So in other words, most people, like he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 2, he says, God is in heaven, you're on earth, let your words be few. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and no, no. Everything beyond this comes from the evil one. James takes it even further than Jesus. You want to know what he said about it? James 5:12, he said, let your yes be yes and your no, no, you be condemned. And that lines up exactly what James said in chapter 3. So we need to watch our words, amen? Why? Because we want to be saved, first of all. We want to stay saved, and not only that, he said the tongue will set the whole course of someone's life on fire and set them in hell, is what he said. We don't want that. But we want to go to heaven, and we want to get there with a whole bunch of people coming with us, amen? So we're going to just walk around saying, that person's saved. I thank you so-and-so saved. I thank you so-and-so saved. I think my children are saved. I think everything's going bad at work. You walk around saying, I think everything's going good at work. You feel like garbage. You feel sick. You say, Father, I thank you. I feel healthy. You got no money in your checkbook. You say, I thank you. My checkbook's always full. You just walk around speaking what you want to see. Not what you see. We're not. He says, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. So we're going to fix our eyes on what is unseen. Well, I can't see it. Well, see it with the eyes of faith. Amen?
Amen.
See it with the eyes of faith. Now he says this. So what are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to, first of all, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're going to pray without ceasing. You really think you can pray without ceasing? Oh, yes. God doesn't tell you to do anything you can't do. It may be hard for you to pray now, little flesh creature, but if you keep on developing your prayer life, you're going to become very strong and you're going to be a spiritual strong man in prayer, strong woman in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Pray without ceasing, he says. And then he says in the next verse, verse 18, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. You mean when my checkbook is empty and I can't pay my bills? He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? He says this, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You mean when I don't feel good, I'm supposed to thank God that I don't feel good? No, no, no. You thank God that you do feel good.
Amen.
You give thanks in the circumstances, not for all the circumstances. You understand me? unless the circumstances are from God. God doesn't cause sickness, you know that. Amen. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Romans 12:12 says, be faithful in prayer. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to hook our tongue up with our spirit and not our flesh. Amen? And we're going to keep our tongue so connected to our spirit by praying constantly that every time our flesh wants to rise up and say, bleh, don't have any money or something like that, your tongue is arrested by your spirit and it says, my checkbook's full. And you look, who said that? What just happened right there? Why is that? Because you've been praying so much that your tongue is connected to your spirit and not to your flesh. A lot of people are running around saying godless chatter. They're saying so many things out of the flesh all the time that when it comes time that they should be using their faith, that their flesh rises up, grabs a hold of their tongue, they say negative things. Amen. We're going to speak positive things out of our tongue, out of our mouth. Amen. With our tongue. Now, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, this is, should be memorized, this is very good. He says, do not be worried or anxious about anything. Well, I got all these things to worry about, Pastor, and let me just worry about them. I'm so worried about so-and-so, worried about this and worried about that, Pastor Dan. I'm just going to worry my old little old way to bed tonight. He says, don't be worried about worried or anxious about anything. Oh, I'm so rampant. I'm running around so fast. I've just got so much anxiety. He tells you the cure. He says, don't be worried or anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the end result will be no worry, no anxiety, and the peace of God that transcends knowledge will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What you should do is bring your petitional prayer, your prayer of faith, and say, Father, my car is a jalopy, but this is what I'm going to say over my car. This car will run and not grow weary in Jesus' name. And then every day, thank Him for it, Father, every time you start it. Instead of saying, you stupid car battery, why don't you start for me? Say, go. See, this car will run and not grow weary in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody, you know, one time I rolled my brand new truck over when I was younger and dumb. I rolled my truck over, driving like a maniac, and I had no car. And an ex-girlfriend's boyfriend gave me his cousin's car that had been sitting in his driveway. It was a 1978 Impala. Everyone say Impala. The car was so old that it wasn't only an Impala, it was also a Caprice Classic Impala. They used to separate the two. There was both of them. Big old jalopy. And the thing had a cracked windshield. He said, it probably won't last you a week, but it'll get you somewhere, he said. You know what I did? I went and I washed and waxed it. I was so happy that God blessed me with a car. I washed and waxed that car. I tinted the windows on it. I put a stereo system in it. And I started praying over that car. I said, this car is going to last me forever. This car will run and not grow weary. And I tell you what, I drove that car for long over a year. Lasted me. Long over a year. It would have lasted a lot longer if it wouldn't have done what I did to it. We're not going to talk about that. I got mad at the car because I ran the car out of gas and the car is old and you shouldn't beat on it. I got so mad when I started it, I held the pedal to the metal and it just blew the engine up because I just held it there. See, don't ever do that to your car when you're mad. You're going to wreck your nice Caprice Classic Impala. That car didn't need hydraulics. I used to hit the brake and the gas in the McDonald's driveline and that car would go like this. I even did it next to a guy in a minivan, and he started doing it with his minivan with the brake and the gas. That thing had no shocks in it. Amen? But that car, run and not grow weary. Everyone say, run and not grow weary. That's the scripture. He says, those who wait upon the Lord, they run and not grow weary. So I said, my car will run and not grow weary. I started speaking God's word over the car. Amen? Some of you need to do that to your cars. Every day, consistent. Doesn't start saying, no, I don't think so. I'll break the power of the devil. This car is going to run and not grow weary. Amen? Go lay hands on the engine. That's weird, Pastor Dan. You do what doesn't work for you, and I'll do what does work for me. Amen? If God tells you to lay hands on your car's engine, you just do whatever God tells you, and it'll work. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everyone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're not going to be worried or anxious about anything. We're going to pray about everything. We're going to just walk around like this. Say, God, oh, you feel tired. You say, God, give me strength. You get up and you look at your clock. You look like you're going to be late. Say, God, help me to get to work on time. You get in the car. Car doesn't start. Say, God, please help me start my car. You know, you realize, oh man, I forgot the car payment. Say, God, help me pay my car payment. And then you get in the traffic and there's a big sea of traffic and everybody's in your way. Say, God, please open up traffic like you opened up the Red Sea. Help me get through it. Amen. And then you get to work and your boss yells at you. Say, Father, I pray that you bless my boss and soften his heart. I thank you for his salvation. Amen. Then your coworker comes and he spills coffee on your hand and you get burnt. Say, God, heal my hand. Amen. You just walk around every all day long asking God for everything. Just keep your lips going all day long. Every minute of every day praying about something. When somebody's going to do it quietly under your breath, they don't have to hear you. All to God, help me with this. You don't know how to, you forgot how to do something to work. God, how do I show him? Give me wisdom, Lord. He says, anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But what he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he received anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Double-minded. So you can't be, oh God, I thank you for this. Oh, I don't have it. You got to be, you can't be double-minded. We don't want to, there's a lot of, you know, people say bipolar. They sing a song about the bipolar. We don't want to be a bipolar Christian. Amen. Everyone say bipolar Christian. A bipolar Christian is someone who believes God and then, they because it doesn't appear within a week like they want it to, and it's going to really actually take, you know, 3 years because they haven't developed their faith. But they want it to have, they pray for a new car, they want it to appear, oh, it's just going to come falling out of the sky right on top of me. But instead, it's going to take 3 years. You don't become bipolar and then give up on it. You just walk around praising Him all the time for your new car. Amen? Amen. Or whatever it is you need. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody just praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're a worthy God. You're a worthy God. We glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. So trust in me, says the Lord. Trust that if you will discipline your heart and discipline your tongue and be consistent with your words, that you will be blessed. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. Keep your eyes focused on that which will be and not that which you have. Keep your eyes focused on me and tap into my heart by my spirit. Yes, says the Lord, for as you train your spirit and train your tongue by praying in my spirit, you will find that you will find more consistency in your walk with your words, says the Lord. For it's those who control their tongues according to the new nature and according to the Spirit that will find consistency in what they say, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I want everybody to say this with me. Say, God. Say, God. Please forgive me. For speaking things that I should not be speaking. Help me, Lord, to keep my eyes on your word and to speak in line with your word so I can receive the blessings described in your word. In Jesus' name. Help me to obey you. Help me to be consistent in my walk. With my words, with my church attendance, with my tithing and giving, with my love walk, with my daily bread, with my prayer walk. In every realm of life, help me to be consistent and on an even plane with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The key to be a disciple of Jesus is absolute consistency. You can't be a waverer. That's a backslider. We want to be consistent. And the way we stay consistent is we don't halfway do it. We press in with Jesus and with our whole hearts every minute of every day. Never look back. Don't look at the world. It has nothing for you. And every time you put your eyes on the world, it's just bringing more of the curse towards you. Can you prove that with the scripture? Absolutely. He says in Deuteronomy 7:26. He says, neither should you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a cursed thing like it. But you should utterly detest it, and you should utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. David said, I'll set no evil thing upon my before my eyes in Psalm 101:2. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, it says in Hebrews 3:1, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the Word, John 1:1. So keep your eyes fixed on the Word, guarding your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life, and out of your spirit will flow God's Word instead of what your emotions are trying to dictate towards you. And the end result will be in time, in due time. He says, if you're patient, he says, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. How long is it going to take? It's going to take a while. Why? Because that big heavy ship that you've been steering in the wrong direction, you're not going to just crank the wheel and have that thing do a 180. That thing's going to take some time to turn that big ship to where you want it to be. But it will happen. How do you know, Pastor Dan? Because all things are possible with God. God is not a man that he should lie. God never lies. He meant what he said. And you should mean what you say. Amen? So let's mean business with our words. If this is something that corrected you and you needed to get it straight, good. If it's not, then let's just take it another level with our words and speak more positive words. You should just walk around prophesying what you want to see. If you got to play pretend prophet for a while till you get used to this, just walk around saying, thus saith the Lord, my finances are blessed. My family's saved. I'm getting promoted at my job. Every day speak words like this. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. My down sitting, my uprising are blessed. Everything I set my hand to is prosperous and successful. I'm going to get a raise this year. Amen. Walk around just saying everything that you want and just be consistent and say it every day and watch and see what God will do your words. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. If anybody needs prayer about anything, stick around. We're here to pray with you. So I'm going to remind everybody to be consistent in your tithing and your giving. You know, it just breaks my heart to see it, because I know that some of you have been struggling with your finances, and it's because you're not consistent. Some of you in the beginning of the year, you gave all this money and then it just drops off. And some of you didn't give anything in the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, you give a whole bunch. You gotta just give everything off the top to God. And do it in faith, believing that He's going to... You can't outgive God. I'm telling you, the tithing works. I've done it for years. It works. It really does work. But you gotta be consistent to make it work. Otherwise, it will not work. Well, I just won't give it all then. Well, you're in disobedience to God. You're going to bring yourself under more curse. Just do what He says and trust that He... Trust God. The reason we do it is God wants to see that you trust Him as your source, not your paycheck as your source. Amen. He wants to see that He is the source of the one who gives. And I guarantee you, if you will, every single paycheck, if you will give the tithe first, before anything else, and you do the math all you want, by the end of that month, you will always have more than you would have if you wouldn't have gave your tithe. Every single time, consistently. I've never once have I lacked. Amen? He will do it for you. If He does it for me, He'll do it for you. But you got to be consistent to see it come to pass. Every time. Every time. And speak the right words, too. Don't walk around giving your tithes and then say that you're broke. Don't walk around saying, oh, well, probably lose my job by the end of the day. Don't say stuff like that. Say, I'll probably get promoted. Promotion comes my way. Favor comes my way. Money keeps coming to me. Health. Life. You know, He says you're supposed to think. He said, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable. whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything, is praiseworthy. He said to think about such things. Philippians 4, 8 through 10. Think on the right things. Think positive. Think that God will do it for you. Think that God will bless you. And speak it. Amen. We love you guys. Come again. We'll see you tomorrow for prayer, 6:30. Let's put our faith into practice. And let's take this to heart, because this is what we're going to be judged by, or we're going to end up being acquitted by. We're going to be blessed by it. The words that we speak. And I can't stress how much you should just walk around and never stop talking. Just always speak blessings over everybody, over your life. My family's saved. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I'm not going to hell. I'm blessed. Blessed going in. Everything I own is blessed. Everything I do is blessed. My car is blessed. My TV's blessed. Everything's blessed. Just walk around blabbing and then go back into praying in tongues and worship the Lord around. Oh God, I just thank you. You bless me so much. I love you, Lord. You're such a good and merciful God. I thank you that I'm forgiven. I thank you that I'm not depressed. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm joyful. Let the weak say I'm strong, he says. Let the poor say I'm rich. Bless them, Lord.